Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications Headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, gentlemen, how's it going? This is your main man, Scott McKay, coming at you again with another episode of the Mountaintop Podcast. That is Scott McKay on Twitter and Parler, real Scott McKay on Instagram, Scott McKay on YouTube. Mountaintoppodcast.com, as always, is the website. And if you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, gentlemen, it is the Mountaintop Summit, and it is rocking, growing more and more every day, every week. Like-minded men committed to being the best man they can be, living their best life, and having the best woman by their side through it all. With me today, this has been a long time coming, is none other than the CEO of Origin and Jocko Fuel. He's also the host of the Hands in Daylight podcast, which is a great listen. It's all about being a man in the modern day world and still being old school in your masculinity and what men do throughout history and today. He is, of course, Pete Roberts from Origin in Maine. Pete, welcome, man.
Man, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's an exciting topic, too. Somehow over 13 years of producing this show, probably beyond 13, we're going to be into our 14th year here. We've never gotten around to celebrating day-to-day, normal, run-of-the-mill lifestyle masculinity. You know, we talk a good game about being a hero, about leaving a legacy, kind of these grand gestures of masculinity because it makes for good listening and great subject matter, frankly. But, you know, Pete, you and I are both normal dudes. Drink beer, drive a four-wheel drive, maybe go hunting, fishing, you know, play a little pickup basketball on weekends. Whatever it is we do, we're a lot like other dudes out there. We all want to meet women. We all want to be attractive to women. We want to have a great girlfriend and a great wife someday, maybe have a couple kids, leave a legacy. And that happens on a daily basis, not through a series of grand gestures, right? It's a lifestyle thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just being an authentic man. What that means these days, sometimes you wonder because there's lots of definitions. It seemed to be pulled apart in ways, I guess you could say. But yeah, ultimately the answer is yes.
Right. You know, I mean, every man is unique. We all have our personality types. We all have our passions and our interests. I know your main man, Jocko Willink, talks about discipline a lot. As men, we'll be disciplined about different things that we see as important in life. How do you sort out this whole idea of what makes a man a real man versus, you know, the parts that are negotiable? I mean, one guy's an artist, one guy's an engineer, one guy's a soldier, one guy's a manufacturer or an entrepreneur. How do you sort that out in your own mind?
You know, ultimately, we're all defined by our passions, I guess you could say. And I'm not saying one is greater than the other. Ultimately, you know, providing for your family is key, in my opinion. And I mean, my wife is the CEO of the company, so she works for the company also, and she provides for the family. But, you know, whether you're pulling wrenches or working in the woods or you're an entrepreneur, you're a teacher, whatever you're doing, your alignment, like it's defined by the person. I mean, there are definitely some traits that I think are ideal to have. And you're right. You know, I wish I could hunt more. It's one of those sacrifices I've made. I don't feel like I have to hunt to be a man. I mean, I bought a new gun this year and I haven't even been in the woods yet. So my dreams and goals and aspirations, you know, are my own and they don't need to be somebody else's. You know, it's not like what I'm doing is better or, you know, makes me more of a man. You know, that's not the case at all. So I think it's really defined by the man ultimately.
Yeah. You mentioned that word that we utter a lot around here, authenticity. And, you know, if you're a man and you're being blown and tossed around by the opinions of others and you don't have any groundedness or foundation, for some reason, that's not very manly. What's masculine and attractive to women is knowing what we believe and therefore setting our own boundaries and our goals accordingly. And I think that's amazing. You also talked about being a provider. I think for a lot of guys listening, that means I have to have a lot of money. And when women who seem like gold diggers on the surface come to us and want money from us, we begrudgingly have to just give them whatever they want or we're not a provider. And I think that's kind of a warped understanding of what masculine provision is. To me, Pete, you know, it's more about when there's a solution that needs to happen, we're the ones who come up with it. We provide a solution. We provide means. We provide a way. And, you know, I wonder if you have any comments on that.
Well, I mean, I can riff off that a little bit. I don't feel necessarily like, you know, like success isn't the defining factor, you know, financial success or whatever, I guess, outwardly worldly view is of success, right? Because you're going to go to your grave with nothing. So alignment, I think, is key. So if I talk about my relationship with my wife, we've been together since we were 16 years old. I mean, we've been poor together. We've done awesome things together. You know, we've struggled together, cried together, laughed together. And we also lived off hamburger helper and ramen noodles together in a shitty little college apartment. So it's alignment, you know, your alignment of your ideals, your value stream. Like that's what most important. I think, part of being a man is, you know, having an open mind, but knowing who you are as you're trying to, you know, achieve that next step in your life, whatever that may be. So, you know, I mean, I have certain views. I'm not a player, you know, I'm not out there in the field. I would say that, my wife is, you know, is my right hand man. You know what I mean? So she, I like to say when my glass is a little too full, maybe she dumps some out, you know, and if it's a little too empty, maybe she puts some back in. So it's important to have that partner and that teammate, sometimes a cheerleader and sometimes a boss too. So I think part of being a man is understanding when that balance has shifted, and sometimes you need a gut check.
Well, you know, when you have the right woman by your side, you really are a team. You know, this isn't, I have to keep her somehow in submission under my thumb. And, you know, she's got to be my servant. And anytime she makes a request, I have to say no and never give her the upper hand. I mean, that's not going to lead to a good, solid relationship. Typically, when I see a happy couple together, first of all, I've never seen anyone in a happy relationship who's leading a miserable life ever. I mean, it's just by design. The two of you are going to be going through life together, and that relationship means everything. And, you know, you've obviously had a very successful one for a long time, and you're echoing a lot of the things we talk about around here in terms of her being a partner. She's not someone who's an adversary. My guess is that the two of you get each other. You know what's going on in each other's minds, and you've come to an understanding, which makes communication perhaps easier between the two of you than two people who feel like, okay, can I not trust this woman I'm with? I mean, what's she going to do next? Do I have to duck? What's going on here? And I think a lot of guys, they get married to the wrong woman. And maybe it's because the self-work didn't happen, or they just had no idea who they were actually looking for. But certainly, once you met the woman you've been married to for all these years at age 16, it was the right woman. And really, the heavy lifting was done, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, I mean, it's never easy. You know, you've got to constantly work at it, just like you would anything else in life. I mean, nothing in life comes easy. Nothing's given. Nothing drops in your lap. I mean, it's constant work. But, you know, I think that's where the alignment takes over. You know, I mean, I think what happens with folks is maybe they're not aligned. Maybe it's emotionally aligned, spiritually aligned. Sometimes it's politically aligned. I mean, you can see that a lot these days with the polarizing nature of society and politics. But I would try to check all the boxes when it comes to alignment, because then you actually want to go to work to make it work. Where vice versa, you're only 50% there. You're checking 50% of the boxes. It's going to make for a very challenging life. I'd rather earn my gray hair, you know, trying to build a business or do something exciting than earn my gray hair arguing with my spouse. You know, that's definitely not the way I'd want to go about it.
Oh yeah. Being on that hamster wheel all the time of trying to deal with your significant other's drama and this and that, it's just really draining to the masculine psyche, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. It can be for sure.
You know, again, circling back to authenticity, when a man doesn't know who he is, when he lacks the maturity to have established an identity around what it is that's important to him, what it is that isn't important to him, what his priorities are and where he's going to spend his time and where his ambitions lie. You know, until a guy has that figured out, it's hard to know who the right woman for him is going to be. I mean, this is why guys all over the fruited plain get involved with women who are just not compatible with them at all, even in fundamental ways, like, you know, what God do we pray to? What are our thoughts about money? How are we going to parent our kids someday? But hey, you know what? She has a nice ass, you know, even though she's batshit crazy. So I'm going to marry her because, you know, she begged me to marry her and I didn't want to lose her and have to start all over again. It's amazing how that turn of events happens. And like you said, Pete, I think a lot of it's just rooted in men not having that sense of, you know, like self-awareness that we've talked about, and even self-esteem.
Yeah, you know, it's a situation where if you're trying to fit into a mold that you just don't fit, recognizing that. I mean, I was always a person, even growing up, and I remember being in college, right? And I was an athlete in college, and I'd be sitting in my football locker room, and I was always interested in design and art and artists, jock artists, you know, they're pretty rare, I guess you could say. So I would always get shit from my friends, you know, just on the computer designing stuff. And then I didn't want to go out and party because I would have rather been, you know, home creating art. And I used to get a lot of slack for that also. And then when I said, hey, I'm going to get married young and have kids young, like these are all decisions I made, but I didn't give a shit what anybody thought. I mean, and I guess I was just always like that. I don't care, man. I don't freaking care what you think. And it's amazing how all those people come around after the fact, after, you know, you find success and they don't understand how you could see things that early on in your life. And I think that's just knowing who you are. And I would say for a man who's struggling with trying to figure out who he is, you know, you've got to do, you know, kind of a self check and what makes you happy. You know, where do your passions lie? Whether it's art and sculpture or something else in life. And if you can define that for yourself, you'll find confidence in that. And ultimately, you know, women are attracted to confident men, not arrogant, egotistical douchebags, but, you know, men who are confident. So, there's someone out there for everybody, but, you got to know who you are first before you can try to drag somebody else into that. So,
yeah, too many men out there fronting, thinking it's going to make them look better when in reality, it just loses respect. You know, this is going back old school, but as you were talking about being a football player who was interested in the arts and maybe some other things your peers, other yeah. young men would be rolling their eyes at. I'm reminded of guys like Rosie Greer and his crocheting when he was in the NFL and Lynn Swann yes. taking up ballet.
Ballet, yeah.
Yeah, and look where it got him. It got him in the Hall of Fame because of the footwork, you know. You know, the way I see it, and I'll let you go ahead and comment on this also for sure, is we as men are competitive beings. And a lot of our day is spent trying to be number one and to win. And that comes from, of course, a primal element of having to fight other warring tribes and even commit acts of violence just so our family could survive and our genes could be transferred to the next generation successfully. But you know what? It seems to me that we as men look for weakness as such in other men. And I'll tell you what earns that respect with one's peers is owning it. It's like, hell yeah. You know, I don't care what the hell you think. I play football. I'm also a guy who's going to be a family man at an early age. And I also like all this artistic stuff that you guys aren't into. Great. You do you. I do me. But this is who I am. And I'm not going to apologize to you or anyone else for what I believe in, what I'm passionate about, because I've thought this through and I believe in it. And it's the right thing. Right?
Yeah, I think it can be intimidating for other men or peers if you're younger. But knowing what you want and how to get it can be intimidating if they don't, you know, and a lot of times men are too arrogant to ask questions. Well, why do you think like that? Or how do you know, they'd rather just try to figure it out, bang their head against the wall and figure it out. I'm not one of those. Like when I was struggling with business, I went and found the best business dude I knew. You know what I mean? And I picked his brain, and now I have friends and associates that are my advisors that I call all the time, man. I mean, we got 100 employees. I was just on the phone with them yesterday, actually, one of them, and he gave me an ear beating, you know, like, hey, like I appreciate that. So if you want to go through life and try to bust down every wall and not find a better angle to get over or around it, that's your prerogative, but you're going to end up being hard headed and not with much. So you got to know when to shut it down and take advice and then apply that advice in life.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys have a problem intersecting masculinity with humility. And I think that's an earmark of maturity too. You know, you brought up the word success earlier. Success is one of those nebulous terms. A lot of men automatically conflate that with being rich and having money. But success is getting done that which you thought was important to get done, whatever it is.
That's right.
And I've noticed the people who are the most successful are not Lone Rangers. And we've talked about this recently on the show. They hire people who are smarter than them at what they're good at, and they hire people who are really good at everything they're not good at. And they do so with that sense of humility, which in turn creates greater success for not only themselves, but everybody they bring into the fold. It's great. Great formula.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's honestly what I try to do. You know, my weaknesses, you know, bring folks in who those are their strengths. And even my strengths, I'm always looking for talented people. I'm looking for people who are more talented than I am, you know, because they're just going to bring a different flavor and a different perspective to the table. And I'm not always looking for someone who has the same personality. I actually want a contrasting viewpoint. I need somebody to see what I can't see, you know. And as far as success being defined by the maker of it, I mean, there's a lot of ways to gauge success, but ultimately your success isn't mine and mine isn't yours, you know, and you may end up in a place you never thought, you know, and I may too. It's hard to, I guess, break that down. You know, if someone had tried to explain to me where I would be at in my life at 41 years old, you know, 10 years ago, and I'd have been like, yeah, I can't imagine that in my wildest dreams. But I did have a singleness of purpose, you know, and I was on a mission, you know, and where we are now, when I look back in 10 years from now, I probably won't believe we're at in 10 years, you know. So I understand your perspective is driven from your experiences, you know, and you're having different experiences every day. You're learning new things every day. And, you know, a lot of times your perspective shifts and, you know, you're driven from that, and your ideas and your plans in life are driven from that. So yeah.
You heard me laugh out loud. That's because as a man, like many other guys nowadays, I've changed careers in my life. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years into every career change, I thought the same exact thought you just expressed, which is, man, if you would have told me 5 years ago I'd be doing this, 5 years from now, I would have laughed in your face. But yet here we are, you know. And, you know, on that note, I'll tell you something, Pete. One of the things that drew me in immediately and attracted me to what you guys are doing over at Origin is that you have this multifaceted mission. Yeah, you have employees and you want to create wealth for them and yourselves. It is a business. It's not a nonprofit venture. But you also want to create the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu gis for guys out there because you're passionate about BJJ. And you also came with this idea that, hey, you know what? All the jeans that have great American brands are now being made in China and Mexico. And where do the American jeans go? And why are we all trying to dress up with this stylish thing going on when, you know, jeans are meant to be worked in and roughhoused in? Can we somehow combine those elements of having some style and still being able to be a man and do manly things in my jeans? And that led to the greatest jeans I've ever worn. I'm sure a lot of the guys who are listening have already gotten themselves a pair, and we'll give you guys URL at the end, of course. But the other thing is you wanted to make sure it was all made in America, done start to finish right here in America. And you wanted to celebrate this idea of virtuous masculinity, which, you know, permeates everything you guys do in a world where men are being told they're irrelevant nowadays. I mean, we're not cavemen anymore at best, or toxic at worst. One look at your website, originmaine.com, and you just know, hey, you know what? This is for men by men, and it's all good. And I've always been very drawn to that real solid, grounded sense of purpose over there, Origin. I mean, you guys know who the hell you are. You know what you're about, and you know exactly how to bring that to market. And guys have just responded powerfully to that, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, we've seen it with the growth in our community and customers, and also because they're willing to wait for us to make, you know, a pair of jeans that actually will release serotonin when you put them on. They feel so damn good. So, you know, we are celebrating America, you know, and as far as the noise out there about masculinity, I just don't pay attention. It's irrelevant. I actually don't pay attention to anything that I just don't feel like I have capacity for. So the toxic masculinity, malarkey, you know, like whatever. Like, I'm not even going to get into a debate about it because I've got too much shit to do. You know what I mean? And that's how I feel about it. And one of my good friends, Ryan Mickler, he talks a lot about this.
Order of man, right?
Order of man, yeah. And, you know, and we have discussed toxic masculinity. I mean, if you look at history, like take your World War II vets and look at the baby boomers. I bet if you asked 5 out of 10 baby boomers, you know, what happened when they got in trouble, most of them would say, well, my dad took out a belt and he beat me, right? And that was just like the way of life. Now they're all, you know, a lot of them are very respectful folk, but, you know, if you want to say, oh, that's toxic masculinity, you know, okay, I understand that, you know what I mean? But I don't think you're finding a lot of that these days. I certainly don't whip out my belt and beat my kids. I have really clear conversations with them about, you know, mistakes they've made and how, you know, I made a similar mistake. You know, I remember when I was your age and I thought this and I did that, and come to find out here was the result. So instead of being closed, you know, why don't you open up and share your experiences? Again, if experiences drive perspective, you know, and you can share that knowledge, why wouldn't you do that? I'd say more toxic masculinity is the opposite. Staying closed and using your experiences, especially the negative ones, to drive you into a deeper hole of anger and hate and discontent. You know, and honestly, that's what I love about jiu-jitsu, because every dude thinks he's the man, right? We're born with this innate kind of feeling that, oh, if we get in a fight or if I need to, you know, protect my family, that I have the toughness and the fortitude and the abilities to just black out and beat that guy, you know, or win. You know, if I was in a fight in a bar or something. And, you know, what jiu-jitsu shows you is that is a facade. It is a facade. It's paper mache, man. And jiu-jitsu, ultimately, as you train jiu-jitsu and start training, it is the most humbling thing that you'll probably ever do from an athletic standpoint. So it's funny, I have seen people who were like the bar-going folk who thought they were the toughest dude on the block start jiu-jitsu and just their whole life changes. Like the whole viewpoint on what being a man is like, and that you're not as tough as you thought, that, you know, when I look at another man, I don't need to try to like show him up by my strength or my shoulders back or the way I strut or the way I glare. Like, it all goes away because it's all just a friggin' facade. So a little bit off topic there, but do I think there is toxic masculinity? Has there been historically? Well, of course, you know, but there's toxicity in everything in life. We're humans. It's human nature. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just toxic masculinity, you know? I mean, it's not like every dude is toxic. Are you kidding me right now? Of course, there's dudes who are toxic. There's women who are toxic. There's leaders of our country who are toxic, leaders of foreign countries who are toxic. I mean, you know, it's not just cut and dry, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think anytime someone has a socio-political agenda that they're driving, they've thought 3 or 4 chess moves ahead of the masses. And that's where guys who really aren't grounded in who the hell they are and what they're about get easily dragged into those conversations. Someone very wise said to me a couple years ago, an earmark of knowing you have self-control, self-awareness, and indeed maturity is you know when not to respond to that Facebook post. Because the world will go on whether you respond or not, you know.
I figured that out at 30.
And exactly, I'm 10 years ago.
I figured it out at 30.
Yeah.
And I'm 41 now, and I feel like I got my brain around like 38, 39. Like, I don't feel like right. I don't even feel like I had a brain. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, so much perspective shift, so much,
right,
so much knowledge gained. It's just, it's different. You know what I mean? It's different.
Talk about the need for discipline.
Yeah. I see a Facebook post and I get posts on my Facebook. I don't even respond. I chuckle and I move on. And, you know, once every few years, I might respond to something. somebody's baiting me into, but I don't care. You know, I just don't care. Like if you have to spend time on defending yourself on social media behind the screen, like that's just a waste of time, man.
Nobody's listening. Yeah, I tell guys all the time, I'll tell you what, my biggest lesson from having a mailing list of 62,000 guys is let it go. Yeah. You do not have to respond to everyone who's baiting you or trolling you. Just the world will continue. You don't owe everyone an apology. You don't owe anyone an explanation if they don't seem like they're being a part of the adult conversation. And you know what? The world continues to revolve. All told, I'll tell you what, Pete, as you were explaining all of this so eloquently, it occurred to me that this authenticity you're talking about is powerful in many ways because it requires humility. I mean, there's nobody out there who's being real with us who lacks humility, because everybody's going to be humbled. Everybody's going to realize the limits of their capabilities, of their intelligence, of anything, because we're all limited human beings. And it really does take a mature, real man to say, all right, you know what? I'm not good at everything. I'm not going to get everything done that I need to get done. And that idea of being transparent about that, I mean, you know, you don't have to go around celebrating your weaknesses with people. But at the same time, if I'm going to be real, I'm going to say to you that, you know, I am a man. I have to have other people around me. I have needs. I have wants. And I'm not just going to go, yeah, I don't need anybody. I'm good at this. You know, get away from me and play hero ball over things that just really aren't all that heroic, right?
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot, though, unfortunately. I think people's true feelings about themselves are maybe disguised by, you know, substance abuse. You know, a lot of times it could be alcohol or other compounds, let's say, where, you know, you want to feel like a hero. So, you know, you disguise everything you don't like about yourself to feel that way. Instead of seeking community, guidance, instead of seeking peers, you know, and opinions of others, it can be humiliating, I guess. I've never really looked at it as like to go get guidance from somebody or to go and talk with somebody. I always looked at it as gaining knowledge.
Yeah,
you know
bet.
What I mean? I want what's in your brain. I want what you learn so I don't have to make the tuition payments in life. You know, of course, I'm looking forward to making discoveries. I was telling a friend yesterday, I love going, you know, and traveling. Like if I'm in Italy, though, I don't want a friggin' tour guide. I want to discover the stuff for the first time. Like I'm the first one. You know what I mean? I'm going to walk through the streets and boom, there's something that I know a million other people have seen, but I still want to. So I think discovery is good. I think you should seek that. But knowledge, man, seeking knowledge, that trumps everything. So
see, that comes from you hanging out with Jocko. That's a Navy SEAL cornerstone.
Is it? Yeah.
I've had 3 Navy SEALs hire me to coach them.
Yeah.
And I've always left, you know, talk about humility. I mean, what does a Navy SEAL need from a guy like me? I think I'd ring the bell about 20 seconds into Bud's training.
Yeah.
And finally, I asked a guy at the end of a weekend he spent with me where he was literally the most coachable soul I've ever met in my entire life. And I go, dude, you're a total badass. You're the very epitome of badassery. And what was it about me that caused you to hire me? I mean, don't think I'm bad. Don't box, no karate, none of that stuff. He goes, listen, here's the thing about Navy SEALs. It is absolutely integral to our training that we're sponges. Knowledge is power, and we are trained to rest and extract every power, every absolute shred of information out of you that will make us more powerful and will contribute to our mission. That's why we're coachable. You know how to relate to women. You know how to meet women. The one thing I don't have in my life right now is the right woman by my side. You're the guy. You're the freaking man. And I came to you to get that information. I don't need you to be a Navy SEAL. I don't have time to make you into one. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Well, he didn't say it like that. He was a lot kinder, of course. But that idea of immense curiosity and just extracting power in the form of knowledge like a sponge was incredibly impressive to me. I mean, just like the men themselves are invariably very impressive. And I've always been struck by that. And it always, that changed my life when he told me that.
Well, you know, you got to understand, you went through life having different experiences. And
that's
when you think about a Navy SEAL, like I had a young kid who just, is in Buds now, or is during coronavirus, but he trained jiu-jitsu with me. He graduated high school, he signed up, and off he went. And so he's going to grow up in the SEAL teams, and he may spend 10 or 20 years, and he's going to learn about how to be a foremost badass on planet Earth in the SEAL teams, and you know, and they have a mission. So you sign up to be a Navy SEAL. Like I couldn't be a Navy SEAL. I was telling my buddy JP Donnell this. JP, I couldn't be a Navy SEAL. He's like, yeah, you could, man. Yeah. I said, dude, no, because I like to sleep. I need sleep. I need my brain to recharge. And I said, and dude, honestly, I said, when I get tired, it's like 30 seconds between the time I'm like, I'm feeling tired and I'm asleep. And he actually witnessed it for the first time. And then he's like, okay, I get what you're saying. I get it now. Like, you guys stay up for 48 hours or 72 hours or what it is. That's just crazy. They say it takes 10 years off your life or whatever, but I don't have that desire to do that either, you know, but these guys who, you know, want to grow up to be commandos, to, you know, to defend, you know, the United States of America, to defend our people, defend our flag. They are on a mission. So for him to say that to you is basically him saying, listen, you've had a different mission than I have for the last 20 years. And I want to know how you achieved what you achieved on your mission. And that's what's important to me right now, because my other mission is over. So it's not that one, again, we said earlier, what defines masculinity? It's not that one thing defines success versus another. And again, success is also defined by different phases of life, right? When you're 21, you know, success is getting your first car payment, you know, like actually getting a bank to lend you money to buy a car. You know, success may be, you know, renting your first apartment or buying your first house. I mean, there's a lot of points at which you feel successful as you progress through life. You may have flipped a house. You may have flipped a vehicle and made a little bit of money or something. So it's an interesting life. That's for damn sure.
It's so well stated all around. You know, life is a journey, not a destination. And I'll tell you, you know, hearing this guy, this particular guy who's a retired Navy SEAL, hearing him talk about coming to me and respecting what I do enough to want to learn from it, actually caused me to want to reciprocate. I wanted to learn more about how I could be more like a Navy SEAL, even though I certainly wasn't ready for it at that time in my life. How can I be a little tougher? And for me, it's manifested itself in ways like when it gets to be 38 degrees and humid and a little rainy around here and everybody's bitching about how cold it is, I just won't. Because, you know, I didn't just sleep for an hour having not eaten for a week and they make me wake up in a cold puddle and either you ring the bell or you don't. I mean, it could be worse.
Right.
You know, yeah. I always look at other small things, like, you know, when there's an issue that comes up, I always think about it as having happened for me instead of to me. And that victim mentality that Jocko and others talk about, that's just so harmful and detrimental, and taking ownership of that and having that become a power, a superpower in your life, really, I think is just huge. You know, you talk about Brazilian jiu-jitsu quite a bit. You're passionate about it. And I have something I've been wanting to talk to you about this whole show, and I think now would be a good time to talk about it. In terms of being a man and being at the ready, I mean, you know, we carry multi-tools and we have jumper cables in our cars and we're always ready. That's a big part of being a man. There was an online conversation a few days ago where someone quoted the following. If you can't be violent as a man, you're harmless. And of course, being told you're harmless as a man is almost as bad an insult, is almost as deeply wounding as being told you're a loser. You know what I mean? Those are like the two worst things. And someone responded in a way that absolutely brought a smile to my face because it made a true debate of it. He said, I'll social engineer you into submission. It's what the guy said. And I had to laugh because the mental image you get when someone is beating their chest saying, if you can't be violent, you're harmless, is a physical one. Like, you know, you better go train. You better know how to go on the offensive and defend your family and use a firearm. But there's also this idea that the violence, the power you need to exert to be a protector and a provider may not be physical. It's not just about being bullied and or being a doormat versus standing up for yourself. Sometimes when you outthink other people, or when you bring thoughts to the table that haven't been thought of before and people start adopting them and you have that kind of influence, it can be seen as violence. I mean, there's a lot of talk about social violence nowadays also. I mean, is there any validity to this, or do we just all need to get into the gym and train? What's the deal?
First of all, I think everybody has the capacity to be violent, you know, depending on what type of circumstance you are in your life. I mean, if you're protecting your family and a mass murderer walks through the door and he's trying to kill your kids, like, trust me, you're going to be violent. You know, even if you're a pacifist, you're not going to sit there and watch this take shape, you know. So,
well, your wife would never talk to you again if you did, literally.
You would never live with yourself, right? So, right. Man or woman, I mean, violence. My wife said to me, she actually said to me, we were driving home on Saturday from the grocery store and she felt violent. She was like, I can relate to people who are so angry, they go off the handle. And it was something simple. It was, number one, our son couldn't go to the doctor because he was symptomatic of something, and it wasn't like COVID. He had been exposed, but he wasn't symptomatic of COVID. But the doctor's like, no, I'm going to diagnose you over the phone. And it's like, okay, so you can't see your doctor and you have symptoms to see your doctor, but your doctor won't see you. So I'm going to diagnose. I mean, I can diagnose myself on WebMD. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a crazy world. And then, you know, in the grocery store, and like, everybody's going to come in this door and everybody's also going to leave the same way, instead of, you know, going, you know, going one end of the building and come out the other end. So they had everybody like filed in like sheeple, you know, and they've got someone standing there at the door, making sure you've got your mask on, and there was sanitizer, and, you know, there's a natural flow to things, and you're standing in a line. And she is just, you know, we're about a year into this, and she basically is like, I'm done. I'm done with this bullshit. She was just so upset at the state of America and what has happened over the past 6 months or 8 months. And it's interesting because she was angry and she felt violent. Like, I could literally see her. I was like, you know what, why don't you pull over, you know, and we'll have a conversation. She was driving. I was in her car. Let me drive the vehicle. You know, of course, we chuckled a little bit and I kind of hocked her down off the cliff. But, you know, like, there are small things in life that can cause somebody to be violent. They just have had enough. You know, I've had enough type of situation. So at that point, it's doing a self-check, you know, where are we at in life? And as far as, if you aren't violent, you're harmless, I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, I wouldn't say if you're not violent, you're harmless, or that you need to be in the gym to show that you're a man. I just was talking to a buddy this morning about squatting. I don't believe in squatting. I feel like squatting killed my back in college and heavy squats. So yeah, I like hack squats and lunges and all this other stuff, but I don't like squatting. I took it out of my life 15 years ago and it's never coming back in. You know, if I said that to all my friends, and I actually have, I've said it to, you know, to my friends, Jocko and, you know, and all my other friends, they'll be like, squatting is the best thing. And not for me, it's not. You know, does that mean I'm not a man, or that I'm, you know, I'm not doing a good enough job at keeping myself in shape? I can tell you straight up, I'm not doing a good enough job at keeping myself in shape. I mean, I can tell you that. I don't need to, like, just look at me. You know, I'm not in shape. Why? Because I'm making sacrifices to make sure I keep 100 people employed and 4 buildings open and people working and getting a paycheck while everything else is crashing around us. So that's sacrifice, you know?
Maybe that's where the saying that don't mean squat comes from.
Yeah, don't mean squat. So, I mean, yeah, man, I mean, I don't think you need to be violent physically. I don't think you need to be violent in your mind. I think you need to do jujitsu on things. That's what I do. I like to do jujitsu in my mind. I do a lot of jujitsu. I do jujitsu on the mats. I do jujitsu in life. I do jujitsu with my kids, you know, as we're having conversations. I do a lot of jujitsu in business. Our ideas and strategies, it's all about jujitsu. You know, it's kind of like the jujitsu way. But yeah, I don't know if that answers your question or not. A little bit of a diatribe, but.
Yeah, good one. I think it's all very relevant material, actually. You also talked about being a father. Yeah. Do you have just sons or sons and daughters?
I have an 18-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter.
Oh, perfect.
Keep me on my toes.
Talk about everyday fatherhood. What's the importance of having a man around who is a father figure?
Yeah, I mean, mine wasn't, you know. So, I mean, he just wasn't. Single mom, 4 kids at home making $24,000 a year. you know, we didn't have a lot. I mean, we had more than most. We're still living in the United States of America. But I think fatherhood is important. You know, I think that piece in the nuclear family. And, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like the best dad on the planet. I mean, I've definitely made my mistakes. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important being a dad, being there, being available, and knowing when to turn it off. I think that's what I struggle with mostly. And my wife is there to help correct that when she sees it. But you gotta know when to turn it off. You know, that's whatever that mission is for the day, you know, when you get home and your kids want to see you, especially when they're little or when they want to have a conversation, whatever they're into, you have to be genuinely into what they're into, genuinely into the conversation, not just there, but actually there and present. You know, that's so damn important. That took me a long time to learn, man. Like, I didn't get that the first, you know, 8 years of their lives. I had to ease into it because, you know, it goes against what I want to be doing, you know, and what I want to be thinking about. Yeah. So that was very difficult for me.
Yeah. I think a lot of men think, you know, being a dad means a paycheck. I provide, and that's the sum total of it. But all the provision of safety and security, helping your family feel cared for, it's all manly stuff, too. I mean, my little daughter would get my attention and talk to me about things all day if she were allowed to. I mean, there's obviously balance. But one thing that my kids feel is loved, and I'll echo something that you said, is there seems like there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves as guys not to screw up and to be this perfect dad. None of us are going to be perfect. Again, there's that humility that's coming up again. You know, I mess up. Sometimes I get upset. I've had a rough day. I'm on keto and I'm on a 4-hour fast window that I haven't entered yet, and I'm cranky, hangry. And they say something hits my hot buttons and I say something that's angry. I don't ever really say things I wish I wouldn't have said. I mean, that's a habit, I think, is making sure you edit yourself regardless. But, you know, when I get really angry, my kids know to back off because it doesn't happen a whole lot. And then I feel bad about it. Or, you know, I tell one of my kids I don't have time for them right now, or I don't show enough interest just because I'm human. And I think one of the things a real man does on a daily basis is if you're wrong, you apologize. You don't go around saying, I'm sorry. Like, someone who has no self-esteem and who gets pushed around. But, you know, if you do wrong by someone, you make it right. And I think that is a big part of, you know, the day-to-day work of being a man. I mean, obviously women should do that too, but I think men are more likely perhaps to have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's toxic. You're unable to do that. So if you want to talk about toxicity, like, that's toxic. If you aren't owning what you did, what you said, or maybe what you didn't do, and trying to right the wrong, at least make an apology, well, that's toxic, man. Like, that has zero positive effect on those around you, especially when it's loved ones.
Yeah, huge takeaway there. Kind of to finish up here, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about taking care of our health as a man. Nutrition, supplements. I mean, you guys over at Origin, you guys have the Jocko Fuel line, which are frankly some of the best supplements I've ever used. You guys are putting your heart and soul into that because you believe in men's health. How do we as men take better care of ourselves on the daily? Because men have a horrible reputation for not going to the doctor and thinking we'll just get over it and I don't need anybody else's help. But we do. We should take care of ourselves. If not for our own sake, then our families, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate you again doing this podcast. And, you know, what we're doing at Origin is definitely, you know, I guess unique in this day and age, maybe not unique 100 years ago, but the fact that we, you know, cleared a forest and built a timber frame factory and found some old sewing machines headed for the scrapyard and refurbished them and found a loom and started making stuff again and weaving fabric. Like, weaving fabric is cool. You know, sewing stuff is cool. You know, my favorite class in junior high was home ec because my teacher taught me how to sew and I made this awesome friggin' locker pocket. I was just blown away after making this thing.
Well, the great chefs of the world are men.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
100%. I've seen the video of you guys making the boots that I have grown to love so much. I got a pair and they're just fantastic. And man, it's artisanship. It's awesome.
It is. It's a craftsmanship. It's old world skills. And, you know, we have a lot of men and we have a lot of women and they work solidly together to craft the greatest products in America. You know, the greatest products America has seen in the past 100 years, heirloom quality stuff that's 100% sourced and made in America. So cotton grown in the South, leather tanned here, the cattle grown here, you know, everything. So, you know, anything that you want to put on your body or in your body, we make it. And as far as Jocko Fuel is concerned, that's where that stemmed from, you know, to provide a cleaner alternative. We initially didn't design the brand around the bodybuilder. It's not designed around the gym rat who's trying to make gains and get jacked. It's more designed for folks who want to be a lifestyle athlete, whatever that means, whether it's doing jujitsu or playing basketball on the weekends, some pickup games, whatever it is, it's designed for people who are interested in just living a clean, healthy life. And that's why, you know, we don't jack up our products with garbage. You know, it's all expensive ingredients that are blended together synergistically to make incredible products. So as far as, you know, health and the importance of health, man, it is important. I'll tell you what, I put on the COVID 30. You know what I mean? Not even the COVID 20. Like, I put on the COVID 30. Again, you're going to go through phases in your life where you want your health to be number one always. And sometimes it's going to play second fiddle. And I think that is one of the most misunderstood things there is, like, to be on the path to health, like, it's there. And sometimes you may get off. The idea is that you don't stray too far and get into just a downward spiral where you have no desire to really live a healthy lifestyle. It's very hard. I mean, you've got to have nothing going on to only think about going to the gym and working out. You know, like, you got to have nothing going on in life where you can go to the gym for 4 hours a day. Either that or you're a college kid. You know what I mean? But when you're in life, I mean, if you can get a 20-minute workout or a 30-minute workout, I mean, that's what you need, because it's really a mindset. You know, I mean, staying healthy, being healthy is a mindset. And honestly, for me this year, I haven't been thinking about it at all. I haven't been thinking about my own personal health. I've been thinking about the health of our company. You know, I've been thinking about the health of our people. I've been focused on that. And what does that do? Well, I've kind of sacrificed a little bit of my own health for that. Now knowing, okay, we're just about here, time to get back on track and make sure, you know, I'm not letting myself go too much. So there's ebbs and flows to that. But what you put in your system, what you put in your body, man, ideally, you know, that's on you. You know what I mean? That's on you.
I think it's very poignant of you to, well, frankly, have the humility to admit, hey, you know what? I've made a sacrifice when it comes to health this year that I may not have normally made, but there are two factors there that we were remiss not to talk about on this show. One of them is leadership and the other is legacy. I mean, sometimes things are more important. Sometimes other people have to come before us when we're a man. And if you've got 100 people working in your company who need to keep their jobs, that's got to be on the front burner. And how am I leaving the world a better place? Is it really all about me all the time? And I think most real men would agree it isn't. And I thought that was just an excellent take. And, you know, machismo is very different than masculinity. If you guys haven't figured that out, we talk about it enough around here. But, you know, getting back to what you're talking about in terms of origin, you know, this isn't a musclehead company. It's not. Guys, go over to mountaintoppodcast.com/origin and see for yourself. I mean, yeah, you guys have the absolute best protein powder of all time. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
But you also have a supplement for mental clarity. You do krill oil, you know, a supplement that helps you sleep like a baby at night, which is extremely important. You know, it's a well-rounded operation run by men for men, and it's rock solid. His name is Pete Roberts. Not only is he the CEO of Origin and all around real man and good dude, he is the host of the Hands and Daylight podcast, which you can catch on iTunes or Stitcher. And it is a good listen. It's solid. And if you're a fan of this show, I'm sure you'll be a fan of that one too. Go over to mountaintoppodcast.com. Check out the Jocko Fuel line. Again, what Pete just said, I echo it 1,000%. What you put into your body is important, gentlemen. Check out the jeans. Check out the boots. They're amazing. Check out anything you want and use the code MOUNTAIN10 when you're done to get an extra 10% off. Pete, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been a long time coming, and man, you didn't disappoint. It's been a great conversation. Thanks.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on. Honor to be here, and anytime.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have you back on. You and Brian Littlefield also, who's your partner in crime over there. And guys, listen, if you haven't been to mountaintoppodcast.com anytime in the recent past, you need to go there right now or in the very near future. Get on my calendar. Talk to me for free for 25 minutes. Let's talk about what your new normal is going to be with 2021 foresight, as I call it around here. A lot of you guys, you know, maybe you've packed on the COVID 30 like Pete here. Maybe you've let yourself get complacent like I may or may not have done a few times this year. Hey, next year's a new year. Yeah, COVID's still going on. There's a vaccine or two here. You know, you may or may not take it. That's up to you. But, you know, 2021 is a new year. Things are bound to go better. And it all starts with you, your attitude, your ownership of it. You taking control of your own life insofar as you're able to control within your circle of influence. Talk to me. Let's talk about a plan of action that's going to get you there. It's all there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X&Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X&Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X&Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.